Epilogue. ICA Headquarters, Buenos Aires, Argentina. Dan McCarthy stood in a high corner office of the ICA building just 3 short weeks after his remarkable trip to New Kerguelen. With the agency's opening gala now just a few hours away, Dan was already exhausted from all the mingling and glad to have a few moments alone with Tara. The only person either of them had enjoyed meeting so far was Zhao Chen, leader of the shelter repair crew whose actions had ultimately led to the architect's heinous deceit being brought to light. Brought to light was perhaps too strong a term at this stage, however, as not even Zhao himself had yet been looped in on the true nature of New Kerguelen's outpost or anything Dan and Billy had learned within it. News of a second shelter had leaked into the media from one of Zhao's crew and would imminently be addressed by Chairman Godfrey in his carefully worded inauguration speech. Dan planned to tell Godfrey, President Slater, and Chinese Premier Ding Ziyang the full truth about everything as soon as the gala was over, and he looked forward to getting the weight off his shoulders. It was rare for all three to be in the same place at once, which was why he wanted to tell them today, but he really didn't want to do anything that could cause disagreements until the global media's cameras had stopped rolling. The security operation was understandably off the scale given the number of world leaders present and the recency of the failed triple assassination attempt on Godfrey, Clark, and Leisha, but more than enough media personnel were still present to ensure that the slightest hint of dissension would be noticed and picked apart on every news station for days to come. Billy Kendrick, Dan's intrepid fellow explorer, had opted not to attend. He had sworn on his life that he wouldn't talk about his experiences on New Kerguelen to anyone until the news was out, and so far had stuck to his word. Not even his good friend, Masoud Demir, knew, and Masoud was in Buenos Aires to announce the imminent reopening of the Dorlutepe archaeological site, a window to humanity's past of which only a handful of people knew the potential significance. Given Masoud's role in excavating the pillar where the architect carving was found, Dan had decided to make sure he would be sitting in on the big meeting later in the day. John Cole, at Emma's extremely firm suggestion, would not be there. Rumors from her many old sources in London suggested that Cole was so furious about being cut out of discussions immediately after the crew's return to China from New Kerguelen that he was no longer seeking to replace Valerie Slater as one of the agency's deputy planetary liaisons, but was instead setting his sights on the bigger prize of Godfrey's chairmanship. Cole's penchant for leaks and irresponsible comments made his hands unsafe for news like this, so Dan trusted Emma's judgment. No other politicians would be at the meeting to avoid accusations of favoritism, with only the titled trio and Masoud set to join Dan and Tara in the very office where they now stood. There was no confirmed word on whether Leisha might attend, or indeed any other chosen representative of the messengers if they deemed Leisha's presence too controversial given his action on the same streets just 3 weeks earlier. But at the most unexpected moment, 2.5 hours before the gala and around 5 hours before the meeting, a sudden flash in the office heralded Leisha's arrival. After the first flash Dan or Tara had experienced for 3 weeks, which felt like a long time after how frequently they'd come in a frantic 24-hour period, the alien stood before two of its best human friends and presented each with a telepathy patch of the kind Dan and Billy had brought home from New Kerguelen. Those were all locked away safely in Birchwood, with everyone having deemed it far too risky to take them to the ICA on the off chance Leisha might show up, but Dan had hoped Leisha would bring more if he did, and fortunately, this was how it had come to pass. They wasted no time in putting them in place. "You made it," Dan said, not vocalizing the thought. "Before you hold the meeting later today," Leisha began, his ominous tone suggesting that big news was coming and his words revealing that he'd been keeping a close enough eye on things to know Dan's schedule. "There is something you absolutely have to know. It may change your view of who should know about the architects at this moment in time." Dan and Tara shared a highly concerned and lingering glance. "What's changed?" Tara asked, communicating as silently as Dan. "When I told Timo, he spoke of a desire to develop new machines capable of communicating with the architects," Leisha said. "Remember? Well, a team on New Kerguelen has been exploring the entire area where the outpost lies, inside the outpost, outside the outpost, the city beyond the outpost, and most significantly, above the outpost. Above? Terra asked. Dan gulped. Leisha nodded. As you know, Earth and New Kerguelen are linked by a gate that leads from the edge of our atmosphere, directly above our great shelter, to the edge of yours. The architects put that where we could access it to reach Earth if necessary without flying over the rest of our planet, which was key to maintain their deceit. Well, only hours ago, we found a second gate directly above the outpost. Dan, Terra, we found the gate that links our world and theirs.
Terra gulped so loudly that Dan heard it from several feet away. Dan, meanwhile, felt his pulse pounding in his neck. His gut reaction was that a gateway to the architects would probably bring answers he wouldn't like to questions he shouldn't ask. But having spent his life pursuing knowledge and truth, and having been placed in a position of such trust, could he really keep this to himself?
We will never traverse that gate, Leisha said. And in time, we may seek to destroy it. On this day when your world takes its first truly united steps towards a future of discovery, I simply had to share this information while you still have time to decide what to do with it. You see, if your world determines that contacting the architects is a good idea, you don't need a radio to reach them. Because, Dan, we just found their front door.
This has been an Audible Studios production of Not Alone, Fractured Union, Not Alone Book 4, written by Craig A. Falconer, performed by James Patrick Cronin, executive producers Catherine Stewart and Mike Charzik, producer Chelsea Pita, copyright 2019 by Craig A. Falconer, sound recording copyright 2020 by Audible Inc. Audible Studios is a division of Audible Inc.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.